We are in Siman Reish Sadi Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes here in Sif Aleph, Ma'achrin Tfilas Arvis Kedei Lehosif Mechol Ala Kodesh. Shulchan Aruch says that we try to daven Mariv on Matzah Shabbos later than usual, Kedei Lehosif Mechol Ala Kodesh, in order that we should have the opportunity to add on from the day of the week to the Kedusha of Shabbos. So obviously we add on Matzah Shabbos, which is being included to that which was already Shabbos. But this is a concept that we find on the other opposite of the spectrum, on the other end of the spectrum as well, on Friday when we try to be Mosif Mechol Ala Kodesh. Where is that from? So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Tav Chav Zayin, Rav Ikla Lebei Geneva, says that Rav went to the house of Geneva, Vitzali Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. It says that he davened Friday night davening, seemingly Myriv and Kabbalah Shabbos, while it was Friday afternoon. And from there, the Gemara says, we learn that obviously there's this concept of Tosefes Shabbos. Now, where does that come from? So really, the source of that is the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Why is it in Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara there is not talking about Shabbos at all. The Gemara there is talking about Yom HaKippur. So the Torah describes, V'yinisem es nafsho seichem. Yom Kippur, we have an obligation to be ma'ana ourselves, which means to make ourselves feel uncomfortable. So the Gemara says in Yuma, what does it mean to be uncomfortable? Should I walk on needles the whole day of Yom Kippur so that I feel uncomfortable? Obviously, that's not what it means. So the Gemara tries to figure out, how do we know that it means don't eat and don't drink and don't wear leather shoes and don't have tashmish? How do you know that that's the definition of inui? It's a good question, but that's where the Gemara spends a lot of time on a Maseches Yuma. The bottom line is, v'yinisem es nafsho seichem, we have an obligation on Yom HaKippurim to be ma'ana ourselves. But the Torah then says, b'tisha lachodesh. Now, which day of the month is Yom Kippur? It's on the 10th day of the month. It's not on the 9th day. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You fast and you're ma'ana yourself. You afflict yourself on the 9th day of the month. It's really on the 10th day. This is a mistake. So the Gemara says, masfil mis'ana mibod yom. What it means is you start the tainus of Yom Kippur already on the 9th. Mikan shemosifim echal ala kodesh. And from here we learn that you shouldn't just observe Yom Kippur proper from Shkia to Shkia. You should be mosif. You should add on a little bit before, add on some time after. And this way Yom Kippur will have some extra from the day before and the day after. It won't just be limited to what it is. Now the Gemara says, maybe that's a halacha that's limited to Yom Kippur. Shabbosos minayin, yamim tovim minayin. How do I know that Shabbos, there's a concept of Tosefes, and Yom Kippur, there's also a concept of Tosefes? So the Gemara says, we learn it because it says, tishbesu shabbatchem. And from there we learn, it means Shabbos, Yom Tif, all the days where we have an Isser Malacha are subject to this idea of Tosefes. So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim as well, iyule yoma, the Gemara says in Pesachim that as much as we can usher in the Shabbos earlier, that is something that is encouraged. It's something we should feel excited about because that is really something that we're supposed to do. Now, what's very unusual is that the Rambam, who's so structured and so careful about quoting all the halachas and putting them in the right place and very precise, the Rambam only brings this halacha of Tosefes when it comes to Yom Kippur. But when it comes to Shabbos, there is no mention of Tosefes Shabbos, which is so strange. How could it be? Why is there no mention of Tosefes Shabbos, which I find so interesting, that Tosefes Shabbos is something that everyone has heard of. Tosefes Yom Kippur is something that most people are not familiar with because you're eating and drinking and you're going to the bathroom every Yom Kippur and everyone's rushing and coming to shul and changing their shoes and driving their car and parking. By the time you get to shul, how much were you Mosif already? My father was always very makbid that Erev Yom Kippur, we came to shul early. You're supposed to say the Tfilas Zaka. Tfilas Zaka happens to be a beautiful tefillah, but inside of the Tfilas Zaka, incorporated in there, are also a few words that make an official Tosefes Yom HaKippurim that is accepted upon all of us. It says, and from this time on, I accept the Kedushas Hayom. That is the official acceptance of Tosefes Yom Kippur. So it's interesting that most people are neglecting this idea of Tosefes Yom Kippur, which is really what the Gemara starts off with. It starts with from Yom Kippur. That's where the Torah really mentions it. And they are more careful about Tosefes Shabbos. I remember when I was in the White Shul, it could be the same here, I'm not calling out the White Shul, I just in many shuls this is the case. So we used to daven Mincha on Erev Shabbos pretty close to the Shkia. And then by the time we got to Kabbalah Shabbos, it was already after the Shkia. So I remember I asked Rabbi Pelkowitz, isn't that a problem? Because it turns out that nobody's going to have Tosefes Shabbos. By the time you come to shul and you say Kabbalah Shabbos, that's it. There's no time any longer to have a Tosefes Shabbos. So he said, well, what can we do? In the end of the day, people work, and we do need to have a shul in town that's going to have a minyan for them. What are you going to say? Everyone's going to have to start davening 20 minutes earlier? Not everybody's going to make it to shul. Just practically, it's not going to work. not everybody's going to fit into their schedules to stop earlier. Now, maybe if every minute in town started at the same time, 20 minutes early, then we would all accept upon ourselves that Shabbos is 20 minutes earlier. Okay, but that's not what we do. It's an interesting question. Why is it that we don't have an insistence that everyone does a Tosefta Shabbos? But either way, we have this idea. Now, the Gemara in Brachos takes it a step further. Not only did they used to daven the tefillah of Friday night and the Shemona Esrei when they were in shul on Friday afternoon, but the Gemara then says, "Va'omer kedush alakos." Doesn't stop there. You can go home and you can say Kiddush while it's still light outside. We're all familiar with early Shabbos, Friday night in the middle of the summer. We all do this. And that is something that the Gemara says was done all the time. Now writes the Ra'ah, one of the Rishonim, how can that be? How are you allowed to do that? So the Ra'ah says, don't we have a mitzvah midaraisa? Zacharis Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho means you have a mitzvah midaraisa to make Kiddush. Says the Ra'ah, if I have a mitzvah midaraisa to make Kiddush, and I'm doing that fulfillment of the mitzvah, bizman tosefes, it must be that Tosefes Shabbos is a mitzvah midaraisa. Must be that it's binding midaraisa, that once I'm accomplished Shabbos, it actually becomes Shabbos, because if not, how can I fulfill my obligation of Kiddush, which is a mitzvah midaraisa, at a time when it's not even Shabbos? That wouldn't make sense. Says the Ra'ah, it must be a proof that Tosefes Shabbos is binding on a level of daraisa. That's his proof, and that's what many Rishonim write as well. And the Rashba says, not only are you allowed to make Kiddush, but you can eat the entirety of the meal on Erev Shabbos. So here I am, I made early Shabbos at 6:30, Shkia is not going to be till 8 o'clock, and by the time 8 o'clock comes around, I already made Kiddush, finished my meal, benched, and now I'm done. And it's not even dark outside. And the Rishonim say, many Rishonim say, that that would be something that is encouraged, that would be something that is totally acceptable, and there's nothing wrong with it at all. The Shulchan Aruch actually talks about this, and the Shulchan Aruch says here that we try to daven early. Actually, it's in Reish Samach Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch there is talking about Knisas HaShabbos. Here he's talking on the other end. Shulchan Aruch there says, we try to daven early on Friday night. Why? Because we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to have a Tosefes Shabbos. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, you go home and you eat right away. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait at all. So the Magen Avraham says, I am of the opinion that you can even complete the entire meal. You can finish the whole meal while it's still light outside. You don't have to wait until it's dark at all. So this is a big discussion. The Maharshal is famously of the other opinion, and he feels that no, you have to wait to have the Suda once it's night outside. But the Trumas Hadeshen is the father of Ashkenazic Jewry. So many of the Psukim of the Ramah come from the Trumas Hadeshen. And the Trumas Hadeshen writes in his Tshuva Sefer, which is a fascinating Sefer, he wrote a Tshuva Sefer where he made up the questions. Nobody asked him questions. I mean, I'm sure many people did. But he wrote it as if people were asking the questions. And he just wrote about very famous, important issues in a question-and-answer format. So in the Trumas Hadeshen, Simon Aleph, which is the first Simon, obviously he thinks this is an important issue to get off the ground. So he talks about some of these issues, and he says that in the days of the Kadmonim, in the days of the early Achronim, he says, Hayim Mispalim be'erev Shabbos ba'od hayom gadol. They would all daven early, and then they would all go home. And after they finished the meal, Haya Rav Ha'ir Shahaya Meharabanim Hagedolim, they had very chashuv Rabbanim in town, and the Rabbanim would come out, Yachad im Tuve HaKohol, with all the board members of the shul. They would all get together after the meal was over, and the tile, they would all take a nice walk on Friday night after they finished the meal. Interesting. So it's not, they weren't going to a Shalom Zecher, so they were taking a walk. And it says that they would go to the river Nahar Dunai. I don't know what that is. They would all go to the local lookout over there, and everybody would enjoy themselves. V'hayu chozrim lebateim kodem halayla. And they would come back to their homes while it was still light outside. So they had time to daven early, to go home and make Kiddush, eat the entire meal, bench, take a walk, and still get back to their homes before it was dark outside. That's the Trumas Hadeshen, the father of Ashkenazic Jewry. So this is a big, big discussion, a big machlokes. On the other hand, some Achronim say it's inappropriate. After all, what is the whole source of eating three meals on Shabbos? Why do we have to have meals on Shabbos? Karasa the Shabbos oneg means you have to have enjoyment on Shabbos. So that doesn't tell me that I have to have three meals. Where do the meals come from? So we learn it from the man. By the man it says, Ichlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom. It says hayom three times. So from there we learn, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that we have to have three meals on Shabbos. Writes the Maharal, Mi Prag, it's quoted in the Bach and other Achronim there on the page. I don't understand. If it says Ichlu hayom, if it says you need to eat today, right now it's not today, it's not Shabbos, it's Friday. So I don't understand. You have a pasuk that tells you eat specifically on Shabbos. When you're Mekabel Shabbos, it doesn't become Shabbos. The day doesn't change. So that is a reason why they have some kind of objection. They're not so enthused by this idea. But many, many great Acharonim say this. And the Trumas HaDeshen himself says, this is what they used to do, and they all would take a walk. And by the time they finished with the meal and the Kiddush and the walk, and they got home, it was still light outside. And that was fine. And they didn't have to do anything over. They didn't have to say Kiddush later on. So we look at a Gemara Masechet Shabbos here, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. But the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehei Chalki Mimachnisei HaShabbos B'Tiberia, Umimotzie HaShabbos B'Tzipori. So, interesting line that the Gemara has. He says that, I hope that I should be part of those people that bring in Shabbos in Tiberia, and the people who make Shabbos go out in Tzipori. What is that supposed to mean? Where do you live? Do you live in Tiberia, or do you live in Tzipori? Which community are you a part of? So what does it mean? You want to start Shabbos here, and over Shabbos you're going to travel somewhere else? So what is the Gemara getting at? So Rashi explains what he means. Mimechnise ha-Shabbos b'Tiberia, says Rashi. Mipnei shehi amuka, umach shekes mi ba'od yom. Tiberia is in a city, which is really, it's like a canyon, it's in a valley. So you have mountains all around it, and they're at a very low plateau, and therefore they were under the assumption that the sun set much earlier than it actually did, because it was dark for them, because the mountains were covering the sun. So in a situation like that, they used to start Shabbos much earlier than other communities. Whereas in Tzipori, they lived on top of a mountain. And for them, it worked in the opposite direction. At the end of Shabbos, they thought that Shkia was much later than it actually was. Why? Because for them, they were able to see the sun. They were living on top of a mountain. And for them, they thought that Shabbos extended much longer. So Rabbi Yossi says, I should be like the people who observe Shabbos in Tiberia and bring in Shabbos early because they think the Shkia is earlier. And those who extend the Shabbos later in Tzipori because they live on top of the mountain and they think that the Shkia Sachama is much, much later. So this is actually a very, very important shaila. There are many discussions in the contemporary Svarim and the Achronim over the generations trying to figure out, how do we estimate? How do we evaluate? How do we figure out when the Shkia is really supposed to be? One of my very poor skills is understanding Zmanim. I have a very hard time understanding Zmanim. I always get dizzy. I'm very lucky that in our shul, Rabbi Wolf is very responsible, and he takes care of the monthly calendar with all the Zmanim. He fills it in. I can't figure this out. I don't understand all the Shitas. I don't understand everything. But here, this much I can understand, that how do we figure out, how do we determine, forgetting how many minutes you're going to wait, and 18 minutes, and 25 minutes, and 36 minutes, and whatever, Rabbi Nutam, all of that aside, just on a basic, simple level for people like me who don't understand it. So, how do you figure out when it's actually going to be the Shkia? Does it make sense that every community is going to figure it out based on where they live and what the elevation is? Does that really make sense? If I have mountains around my house, if I live in a fortress and I have walls all around me and it just gets dark 10 minutes earlier than everybody else, or an hour earlier, you're going to say the Shkia for me is at one time and for someone else is a different time? Hard to imagine such a thing. That wouldn't make any sense. Or if, let's say, we have a community that lives on a mountain, right? I remember when I went to California once, so you drive down the coast there and you see there are communities that live on mountains sometimes, right? You see like little pockets of houses there. So what are you going to say? If I have to live on this side of the mountain, so the Shkia is going to be at this time, if I happen to be like, you know, a few feet over and my house is over there and the shade, you know, just happens to come in differently from the sun, so you're going to tell me that the Shkia for me is at a different time than it is for the person across the street? It's hard to understand. I remember when I was growing up in Washington Heights, so in Breuer's, if you hear from Marv, it's going to be next door. So in Breuer's, they always daven mincha after the Shkia. I'm not sure what it's all about. I don't know why they do that. Jeremy's not here this week. But for some reason, they always daven mincha after the Shkia. And the Agudah Shul was right across the street, a block over, and they always davened before the Shkia. That was normal. I don't remember if Breuer's did it every night after the Shkia or only Erev Shabbos. There was a cheshbon. There was a reason why they did that. I don't know what the Shita is all about, but that's what it was. So I always used to ask my father. I didn't always. I asked him once, and he always used to repeat this to all of us. I said, why do they daven after the Shkia, whereas down the block, they daven before the Shkia? Why is there a discrepancy in the Zmanim? It's the same people davening in both shuls. Sometimes they go here, sometimes they go there. So he said, no, the sun sets a little bit later on this block because we're a little bit further. So obviously it was a joke. It's not correct. The sun doesn't set any later when you're a block away. But how do we figure it out? Do we assume that every community really has to use modern technology to figure out exactly when the sun sets and when the sun rises. They didn't have that technology. So what does it mean? In fact, I asked my father a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if anyone was here, I was giving a shiur a few weeks ago in a different context, I can't remember where, but I think it was somewhere here, that I was discussing what happens if a person starts davening and then they realize that they're about to go over the zman. They're about to, they're about to miss the zman of shachris, right? So are you allowed to start Shmona Esrei when you know that you're not going to be able to finish the Shmona Esrei within the proper zman? So I asked my father, what happens if somebody's davening mincha and he realizes halfway through the Shmona Esrei that he's going to miss the zman, he's going to go into the shkia? So I said to him, how could it be none of the achronim talk about such a thing? Like, it's an interesting question. Why doesn't any tshuva sefer in the last 500 years discuss it? He said, because in the last 500 years, they didn't know exactly when the shkia was. They didn't know exactly when it was. It was an estimate. It was a close estimate. So he said, what are you going to tell a person? It's that close, it's that detailed, there was no discussion to be had. So that's the question now, when we do have the ability to be precise in our understanding of Zmanim, so what do we do with that? And that's a very interesting question. How do you figure out the Zmanim? And is this really accurate, where the Gemara says that if you live in Tiberia, the Shkia is going to be earlier, and if you live in Sipori, the Shkia is going to be later? Is that true? That's the way it works? So there's an interesting Ramah. The Ramah is not found in Shulchan Aruch, it's found in the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe is the Ramah's comments on the Beis Yosef. But not all of them make it into the Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes he takes some of those and puts it in. So here the Darkei Moshe writes that in the name of the Maharil, Maharil is one of the great Chachmei Ashkenaz, he says, how do you understand the story of the people in Tiberia? What's the deal with the people in Tiberia? Mitoch sheyashvu bein haharim, I'm trying to figure out, do you spell Tiberia with a hay or an aleph? So the Gemara here spells it with an aleph. I always thought Tiberia was spelled with a hay. Right? So I think it's a difference between Aramaic and Hebrew, I think, but just an interesting point here. So the Ramah writes in the Darkei Moshe, "V'hadam she'Tiberia mitoch she'yashvu bein aharim u'machshuch elahem mibo'od yom, alma b'nei Tiberia im gam hechshik lahem bein aharim mikol makom achorei aharim odei yom gadol." The people in Tiberia, the truth is, they could have said that the people who are living right behind this mountain are still in the middle of the day, and we don't have to worry about it. And he says, "V'adayin lo avar shas mincha," and he writes, you can't say that it's really the zman for the shkia. This Gemara is saying a nice idea that they were mekabel Shabbos early, but they didn't have an obligation to do that, says the Ramah. And the Magen Avraham actually quotes as the halacha where he says that if I live in a valley, if I live in a canyon somewhere, and the shkia seems to me like it's much earlier, but in reality it's not, because if you just walk behind that which is obstructing the sun, I will be able to see that it's still light outside. It's not the shkia yet, obviously. You have to make a phone call, talk to the people on the other side, and find out what time is the shkia. So that is just a very interesting discussion that many contemporary Svarim have about how do you exactly determine the shkia when I live at different kinds of elevations, and when I see things as one way, but in reality, they really are a different way. So that's what the Gemara tells us here, that we should try to accept Shabbos early, and we should try to extend Shabbos a little bit later. Actually, there are many communities in Europe that have a very, very late sunset, right? So let's say I looked up today in Germany. So if in June and July, you can have Shkias HaChamas at 9:30 at night. So this is a big question. This is a big question because we know that we have such a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. We have an idea of being Mekabel Shabbos early. Now, how early are you able to be Mekabel Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch says, from Plaga Mincha Anan. So Plaga Mincha Anan, in our community, is not bad. It's, it's 5 o'clock already, 6 o'clock. But if the Shkia is not going to be till 9:30, so then Plaga Mincha is going to be when? What? 7. What if the Shkia is at 10:30? Some communities even later, right? Germany is not the latest. There are certain communities that are much later. What?
Russia.
Yeah. In the middle of the night. So, they have white nights. So that's a question in and of itself, which I don't want to discuss here. That's a very complicated question. What do you do there? But I remember when my father went to St. Petersburg for the first time. So he was very bothered. What do we do about the white nights? He went on one of these trips in the summer. So I said to him, why don't you ask the trip operator what they do last year? Like, you're not the first person, not the first rodeo. So the trip operator said, nobody cared last year, so we did whatever we wanted. So my father was very nervous for weeks in advance. And then he said to himself, Rabbi Itzel of Petterberger was known as Rabbi Itzel from St. Petersburg. Obviously, he lived in St. Petersburg his whole life, and he must have davened Shachar's Mincha Marv at some time. You can't say that there's no Mairev, otherwise he would have moved out of town. He wouldn't have stayed there. So what did he do? So that's what he was trying to figure out. What did he do? There were Jews who lived in St. Petersburg, great Jews who lived there. So obviously there was some kind of minhag. I don't remember what they answered at the time, but that's an interesting question, as is. But you could have a community where the shkia is at 10:30, 11 o'clock. So this becomes a very big problem. People want to have a Shabbos meal. People want to make Kiddush. So they want to sit down at 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. They're nowhere close to the Plaga Mincha. So what do you do? This is a very, very big question. And in fact, Rav Asher Weiss once told me, so it's interesting, the Mishneh Berurah, before we get to that, let's just go generations. So this is a big shaila. The Mishneh Berurah writes, unequivocally, if you're Mekabel Shabbos before Plaga Mincha, your Kabbalah Shabbos is not a Kabbalah, your davening is not a davening, you have to start over. This that the Gemara says, you're allowed to daven the Friday night davening on Friday, that's only if you do it after Plaga Mincha. You can't just go 2 o'clock in the afternoon and start davening Ma'ariv. It doesn't make sense. So that's why the Mishneh Berurah says that it wouldn't work at all. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, Atu yesh lanu shir b'tosefes. The Aruch HaShulchan says, really? Are you telling me that there's a limited amount of time that you're allowed to add on to Shabbos? Add on whatever you want. What do you mean? Go daven whenever you want. Who said that Plaga Mincha is the cutoff? We don't accept the Aruch HaShulchan. What the Mishneh Berurah is saying is not a chiddush of his own. He's quoting from the Rishonim. The Rishonim all say that, based on the Gemara, is that you can't be Mekabel Shabbos before Plaga Mincha, and that is generally the accepted opinion. So the Shaila is, there was a Rav in one of these communities in Russia or Germany, Rav Asher Weiss once told me, who asked him that he has many members of his community who light Shabbos candles and observe Shabbos Friday night much earlier than the Plaga Mincha. So he says, if I'm going to start telling them, no, it's this man, you don't understand, we have to be makbid, and there, you can't light candles till this time, till that time, he said, they're all going to be Mechal Shabbos. He said, they're not going to, at 10 o'clock at night, they're all going to sit down and actually light the candles now. They're going to go do whatever they do. They'll go shopping, go to the movies. Then they're going to come back, and they're going to light, oh, they're going to wake up at 11 o'clock at night and say, oh, I took a little nap, let me light Shabbos candles. Now they're going to end up lighting Shabbos candles on Shabbos. So he was concerned that they're going to make a big mistake, not because they're malicious, but because people are going to eat their Friday afternoon night meal at 7 o'clock. They're going to go take a nap for 3 hours until it's time to make the Zman, 11 o'clock at night. By the time it rolls around, they're going to miss everything, and they're going to end up being Mechal Shabbos. Shaila was, does he have to make a macha? Does he have to tell them that this is improper and we have to change it? At the time, again, maybe he changed his opinion. I don't think he printed this, but at the time he told me that he thinks that they should just leave it as is, because some opinions believe that if you do it before the Plaga Mincha, it is effective. And over here, if you have people who are observing Shabbos in that way, and they are religiously observing Shabbos in that way, and trying to do so in good faith, he thought that that would be something that is commendable and something that should be done. But because the Shulchan Aruch says here that a Matzah Shabbos, we try to extend Matzah Shabbos as long as we can, that is why a Matzah Shabbos, We have the practice. I don't know. We don't do it here for some reason, but in many other shuls, when they get up to say Behu Racham on Matzah Shabbos, you ever notice? So they say Behu Racham, right? So why do they do that? So they give a little extension, a little bit more. I don't know. It doesn't extend that much. So I remember when I was growing up in Breuer's was down the block from us, so we used to daven there all the time. They actually sing on Matzah Shabbos. They sing two Kapitlach of Tehillim. I don't know if you've seen it in the Siddur. Some Siddurim have it. There is significance. The Achronim explain why we chose those. It's Baruch Hashem Tzuri, I think. I forgot. But there's a whole bunch of brachas that are listed in there that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now that we're going out into the week, into the week of work, and we want that we should have a good parnasa, we should be matzliach this week. So we say, in the schus of our Shmira Shabbos, and in our extension of Shabbos, we ask you for the special bracha, that we should all be successful in all that we do during the week. So the practice is that we try to extend Shabbos in that way, that we try to do whatever we can to make Shabbos linger as much as it can be. And the Prima Gadam explains the reason for doing so is because we don't want Shabbos to look like it is a masui. We don't want it to look like, you know, the minute Shabbos is over, we want to run away, and we want Shabbos to be over as quickly as possible. Now, as we know, we don't say Behu Racham on Friday night when we daven Ma'ariv. We say Behu Racham every other night of the week, but for some reason when we daven Ma'ariv Friday night, we do not. The Rishonim try to explain why that is the case. The Shibalei Aleket writes, maybe the reason why is because every night of the week, we don't have a karban that gives us the opportunity to be mechaper for ourselves. We have karbanos all day during the day. At night, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash was closed, so they didn't used to have karbanos being offered at night. So therefore, he says, we have to have an opportunity for ourselves to ask for a kapara on when it comes to nighttime. So we come to Ma'ariv, and every night, the first thing we say is, okay, in place of the karbanos, Behu Racham. Doesn't explain why on Shabbos we don't do it. So some Rishonim say the reason why is because on Shabbos we don't want people to be sad. They're going to be thinking about Averis. Let your Averis be. Don't worry about it. Which is why my father always quotes that on Yom Tov, when we have Yom Tov that coincides with Shabbos, we know that we add in Be'ava. Right? We add in special words, be'ava. So what? Hashem gave us only Shabbos be'ava, Yom Tov is not be'ava, He loves us, that's why He gave us Yom Tov. Shabbos, same thing. So what's more be'ava on Shabbos than it is on Yom Tov? So my father explains that the reason why is because I think when we have Shabbos coinciding with Yom Tov, we don't bring a carbon chatas, if I'm not mistaken, we don't bring a certain carbon that reminds us of the averus that we do. So that's be'ava. Kadosh Baruch Hu says be'ava squared. Enjoy your Shabbos, enjoy your Yom Tov. Don't worry about your averus right now. Now is not the time to focus on it. We have plenty of time to feel guilty about what we do wrong and to feel bad about it. But whatever the reason is, we don't say Behu Racham on Friday night. We do say Behu Racham during every other night of the week. So I thought it would be interesting just to mention to you that now that we're talking about this issue of Plag HaMincha and how it applies to Shabbos, both B'Knisaso and B'Yitziaso. So this is an interesting shaila that came up. Rav Asher Weiss has a kuntris on Purim. And in that kuntris, he discusses a shaila, which is a very interesting one, from a rabbi in Detroit. And this rabbi's name is Simcha Klein, and he sent him a shaila that he has a doctor in his community. I assume this is a very common shaila. This doctor works in the ER. And in the ER, obviously, the doctor is going to have to be on call the whole night, running in and out to patients. People are coming in. He can't just take a half-hour block of time and walk out of the ER. He has to be on call the whole time. So he said that one of his shifts was going to be on Leil Purim. And obviously, as we're all familiar, we have an obligation to read the Megillah both Balayla, Ulishanosa B'yom, we have to read it once again during the day. So this doctor said, when it comes daytime, my shift is 7 to 7. So during the day, no problem. I'll be out at 7, I'll go to shul, I'll listen to the Megillah. The problem is at night. He's going to be on call the entire night. And he's not going to be able to lay in the Megillah. So he said, "Hayim Rashayhu Levarich Al Mikra Megillah VeLikra Bahav Sakos." Can he make the bracha when he gets to work? Al Mikra Megillah, lane a few psukim. Patient's going to run in. He's going to say, "Okay, I finished the first parak. Let me go take care of the patient." After he's finished doing what he does, he comes back, reads the second parak, comes back and forth. Over the course of the night, he'll finish the whole Megillah. Is that what he should do? Is that the proper thing to do, or would you say no? So obviously, if he's busy the whole night and he's taking care of patients, so he's anonymous, so he's not obligated. But he does have a few minutes here or there. He doesn't have 35 minutes to read the Megillah. And if you're reading the Megillah in less than 35 minutes, shame on you, right? So what should he do? So what's he supposed to do? So this was his question. Or his option B was, maybe he should go and read the Megillah after Plag HaMincha. So it's Tainus Esther in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. His shift starts at 7. Let him go. Have somebody come and lay in the Megillah at 5:30 for him, before Purim. So you'll say, that's crazy. How could he lay in the Megillah before Purim? Why is that crazier than making Kiddush on Friday afternoon before Shabbos? It's the same thing. What? It's less crazy. Even without that cheshbon, it's less crazy because Kiddush Friday night is Midaraisa, and Mikra Megillah is only Midarabanan. And by Kiddush Friday night, it's clear that it works. So why shouldn't it work for Mikra Megillah, which is only a Chi of Midirabanan? So this is a very interesting question. So in fact, the Shulchan Aruch discusses it. Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about a doctor, but he says, what happens if a person has a following situation? Mishahu Anus, somebody who has an emergency, whatever it is, but it's an emergency that you know you have to tend to. It's not something I can get out of. Ve'enu yachol leilech lebeis haknesses. For whatever reason, I'm unable to go to shul later. Bitzarach lahamtin ad achar shikaru hakahol. I'm going to have to wait. There's only one person in town who knows how to lay. I don't know how to lay in the Megillah. So that person's going to be laying in shul. By the time he gets out, with everybody singing and dancing and eating a little bit, by the time he gets to my house, it's going to be an hour and a half later. So, kasha alav leisha b'tainis. Here I am, Tainus Esther, I'm fasting, and now I have to wait an extra hour and a half. But I'm unable to come to shul. For whatever reason, the person can't make it to shul. So he has to wait an hour and a half until the Baal Kore comes to his house. That sounds unreasonable, says the Shulchan Aruch. Yachal ishmoa kriyasa mi ba'od yom, mi plaga mincho lemaila. Surprising. I would have said, what would I have said? What would you have said? Once it's shkia outside, once it's tzeisak l'chavim, go eat, and then you'll hear the Megillah at 9 o'clock at night. No, says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't do that. Better off is if you hear the Megillah at 6:30 in the afternoon before Purim. Because you're anonymous. You have no choice. You can't make it to shul, and you can't have someone lane for you at that time when you want to have the Megillah lane like everyone else. So you have a Baal Kore come to you before Purim, on Tainus Esther, after Plag HaMincha, lay in the Megillah, and then you're set. And once it's shkia tzeis ha'gochavim, then you go ahead and you eat. Yeah. That what? So you are, but we borrow the concept from what we find in other areas of halacha that you could already from Plaga Mincha consider it a little bit of the next day. Now the question is: there's a major machlokas, and actually my father is very very makbid on this. There's a major machlokas every Shabbos if you extend shalashudas and then you didn't bench yet and it's already after the shkia, are you allowed to say ritzei? It's machlokas harishonim. It's nothing new. So we all know the minig is you go baser tchilas asuda. So as long as you started the Suda on Shabbos, you bench with Ritzei. My father often tells the story how he remembers when he was by Rav Soloveitchik's house in the summers. They used to go to Onset, which was somewhere near Boston, I think. So they used to go there. That was the Rav's summer house, and they used to learn with him. So one time, it was they were sitting down to eat, and Rebbetzin Soloveitchik came out, and she got very upset at them. And she said, don't you know that tonight is Rosh Chodesh? So they said, yes. So she said, how are you eating now? It's Ben HaShmashos. It's a Shaila. Are you supposed to say Yala V'Yavo, you know, when you start the Suda before Rosh Chodesh or finish the Suda on Rosh Chodesh? Either it was one way or the other. I forgot. She said, how could a Ben Torah eat when he knows he's getting into a Suffolk with the Berachas HaMazon? So my father said he was so shaken up that Rebbetzin Soloveitchik gave them this Musar. So he said from that time on, he took upon himself, he's never going to do that again. So he's very, very careful every Shabbos at home. Always, we bench before the Shkia. Shalashudas, we always made sure to not only finish eating, but he benched before the Shkia. But it's even more of an insistence on Purim. Because the reason why by Shabbos many say that it's not a problem is because on Shabbos we have a concept of Tosefa Shabbos. So as long as you extend Shabbos, so you say, it's still Shabbos, I can say what it say. There's no concept of Tosefa Purim. You can't end on to Purim. So if you have your Purim Suda, many people bench way after the Shkia. They enjoy themselves, they have a great time. And that is a major, major Shiloh, because it's not Purim anymore. How are you going to say Ala Nisim? But at the same time, how do you have a Suda's Purim without saying Ala Nisim? That's not a Purim Suda. You have to say Ala Nisim. So that's a very serious Shiloh. My father, as insistent as he was on every Shabbos that we had to bench before the Shkia, Purim, he was very, very careful. And we always have to make sure. So actually, somebody who always eats the Purim Suda with us said to me that this year they have to take a flight right after Purim that night. I think Purim's on a Thursday. They have to take a flight that night. So he said, I'm very happy that we're going to have with you. He said, why? He said, I know I'm going to make it to the airport because we're going to bench before the Shkia. I can assure you. Told my wife, we're not going to have problems with the airport. We're going to finish on time. I said, okay, if the reason that you're finishing on time is just that you can make your flight somewhere else and have a great time and ignore Purim, not really a good excuse. But either way, it is something we should be careful about. But here the Shulchan Aruch says that we should, that if somebody isn't honest, if somebody has some kind of extenuating circumstances, so he says that this is something that you would be able to read the Megillah before. Now it just so happens, option B also would have been an option. Option B was that you can make a bracha al mikra Megillah, and you can lay in parts of the Megillah here, parts of the Megillah there, and keep trying as much as you can. The Shulchan Aruch does talk about that option. Shulchan Aruch says that if you don't have an option, you could read the Megillah b'seirugin. You can do a little now, a little later. Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't talk in between, so how's a doctor going to go and not talk in between? So you'll say, okay, he doesn't have a choice. He has to talk in between. All right, so of the two options, the better thing to do would it be to lay in the Megillah before Plaga Mincha, before you go to work, when you're Das Miyusheves Alav, when you have a clear head and a clear mind, get someone to come lay in the Megillah, and that would be sufficient. We then go to the part that talks about Havdalah. So here you are, you have, the Gemara tells us that there were some Amoraim, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Yoshia, it's a Gemara in Brachos, that he would daven Ma'ariv while it was still Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins over here in Sif Gimel, if you look at Sif Gimel here, it says that if somebody isn't anus and you have to run out the minute that Shabbos is over for whatever reason, so the Shulchan Aruch says you'd be allowed to be mispalel Ma'ariv, Matzah Shabbos Ma'ariv after Plaga Mincha, and you can make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. What? Hatzalah does this a lot. Why? What do they do?
I think that's if they'll daven Ma'ariv early on Motzei Shabbos, if they're in the hospital, they want to leave early for them.
I don't know. Could be. I don't know. It's an interesting case. Now, the Shulchan Aruch points out, obviously, when you make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon, you can't light a candle, can't strike a match. So we're not going to do that. And you're not going to smell the besamim. Why? Because Shabbos isn't over. You only smell besamim after Shabbos is over. And you only light a candle after you're allowed to do malacha. So that goes without saying. That's, of course, obvious. But it does say that you would be allowed to make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. Does this ever come up? Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, practically, it's not a good idea to do this. Why? Even though sometimes, technically, you're in a rush, you need to do so. Mishnah Berurah says, technically, it's mutter, but practically, it's a bad idea. Why? Because people are going to start doing malacha after they hear Havdalah. If you hear Havdalah at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to think that Shabbos is over, and you're going to go ahead and be more makel. And therefore, he says, this would not be something that is an advisable thing to do. Now, the place where it's relevant is the following. We know that every couple of years, Tisha B'Av, as we observe it today, B'Churbana, is something that can come out on many days of the week. Now, sometimes Tisha B'Av falls out on Matzei Shabbos. So, immediately after Shabbos is over, you have an obligation to make Havdalah. Problem is, it's Tisha B'Av, so you can't drink the wine. So, what do you do? So, this is a question that is discussed by the Rishon. What do we do when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, Matzei Shabbos, and we have an obligation to make Havdalah, but we can't really make Havdalah because we don't have the ability to drink the wine? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Vav, that's Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Chelek Vav and Shulchan Aruch in Mishnah Berurah, quotes the opinion of the Rush and the Bahag, that is, that you should make Havdalah Matzei HaTainis. Should make Havdalah on Sunday night, which is what all of us do. That is what we do. The Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam, as well as the Ritva right in Maseches Tainis, that in a case like that, you don't make Havdalah at all. You're putter from Havdalah. If Tisha B'Av falls out of Matzei Shabbos, that means this year, this week, there's no Havdalah. It's just fine. Don't feel bad about it. It's just the way it is. That's okay. And that is what some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim say, you should make Havdalah on Matzei Shabbos, and then you give it to a child to drink, which is what we've heard of before. That is what some people do. You'll ask the following question. The Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, that why don't we make Kiddush on Leil Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur is a Yom Kaddush. We know every day that's a elevated, sanctified day, we make Kiddush. So why don't we make Kiddush on Yom Kippur? You'll say, Kiddush on Yom Kippur? How can you make Kiddush on Yom Kippur? No one's eating anything. No, but we want to elevate the day. The same way we elevate Shabbos with Kiddush and Yom Tov with Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah with Kiddush, so let's elevate Yom Kippur with Kiddush. But we have a technical problem. Someone has to drink the wine. Says the Gemara, go to a child and say, tonight is Yom Kippur, such a sanctified holy day. We're going to make Kiddush, and we want you to drink the wine, drink the grape juice. Why don't you do that? Says the Gemara, no, Asi Lemisra. The kids' childhood memories are going to be, you know what we do Yom Kippur night? The first thing we do when we come home from shul is we sit and we make Kiddush, we sit around the table, we sing Zmiros. What do you mean? When he becomes a bar mitzvah, that's what he's going to remember. That's what we're supposed to do. You come home from shul Yom Kippur night, you make Kiddush. Says the Gemara, Asi Lemisra. He's going to have terrible childhood memories of that Kiddush Friday night. He's going to make a mistake when it actually counts. And he's going to think that's the way we observe Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, that's a horrible idea. No Kiddush on Yom Kippur. So if that's the case, ask the Rishonim, how can you suggest here, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Matzai Shabbos, that you should go ahead and make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av and give it to the child? The child, when he gets older, is going to remember that this is how you observe Tisha B'Av. So that's a major problem. So the Rishonim try to come up with distinctions. They say, well, Yom Kippur, the stakes are much higher. If when he becomes a gadol and it's Yom Kippur, he drinks the wine or the grape juice, he violates an Issur Karetz. If when he becomes a gadol on Tisha B'Av, he drinks, okay, it's only an Issur Derabbanan. So it's an Issur Derabbanan, but it's only an Issur Derabbanan, it's not an Issur Karetz. That's what some Rishonim say. Okay, other Rishonim try to deal with other things, but the bottom line is that is one of the suggestions of the Rishonim. And the fourth suggestion is, no, the Meiri writes, why don't you just make Havdalah on Shabbos? If Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, on Matzei Shabbos, make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. After all, doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say here, someone who's in Anus on Matzei Shabbos, for whatever reason, he has to run out the minute Shabbos is over. You said a Hatzalah member, whatever, he knows that he's going to have an emergency. A doctor has to go the minute Shabbos is over to take care of something. You're in Anus, so make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. Obviously without the candle, obviously without the besamim, but make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. Is there an anus gadol mizeh? Here, it's built into the calendar that I can't make Havdalah. Is there a greater situation where my hands are tied than this? And therefore the Rishonim say, go ahead, make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon, and you bypass the whole issue. Doesn't that make sense? So my father said that he remembers when my mother's father was sick. So he said, if I remember the story correctly, he said that I think my grandfather passed away on a Shabbos. If I'm not mistaken. My mother's father. So he said there they were in the hospital, all the family members together. And my father was wondering, the minute Shabbos is over, everyone's going to be in aninus. An onen is not allowed to do mitzvahs. He can't make brachos. So the aninus kicks in the minute Shabbos is over. On Shabbos, you don't observe aninus. So my father said he had no svarim with him in the hospital. It's not like today where we have a biker cholim with a fully stocked food and all the svarim. He didn't have anything. So he said there he was trying to figure out what's the appropriate thing to do. An onen obviously is not going to make havdalah matzah Shabbos. He can't do that. So what should he do? Should he make havdalah on Sunday night after the kvura? Should he make havdalah Shabbos afternoon? Because my father's feeling was, after all, is there a greater onus than this? The Shulchan Aruch says here, my father said, how come nobody thinks of this? I said, because nobody knows the Shulchan Aruch says this. What do you mean? You make problems in your head because you knew this. Most people aren't aware that the Shulchan Aruch says when you have extenuating circumstances, you make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. Everyone said, what are you, crazy Shabbos afternoon you're going to make Havdalah? The answer is, yeah. Shulchan Aruch says, sometimes that's what you need to do. So my father said, on his own, without having the opportunity to look in Svarim, that's what he thought. Shulchan Aruch says, when you have extenuating circumstances, that's what you should do. You should make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. So he said, is there more of an extenuating circumstance than this? That you have a bunch of Avelim, who the minute Shabbos is over, are not going to be allowed to make Havdalah. So let's make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. So he says, that's what they did. Then he said, after Shabbos, he went home. And he had the opportunity to look it up. And he saw that the Svardash Afron and the Svardash Poskim say that's what you should do. They follow the opinion by Tisha B'Av Shechalias B'Shabbos, B'Matzei Shabbos, that that's what you're allowed to do. You make Havdalah Shabbos afternoon. But he saw that the more Ashkenazi Afronim say that that was not the right option. And Lamai said, it's not what we do. When we have Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, we don't make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon. We make Havdalah Sunday night. So that's what Onanim do as well. Unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, when you have somebody who loses a relative on Shabbos, and the Aninus kicks in the minute Shabbos is over, they don't make Havdalah on Shabbos afternoon, they make Havdalah at the end of Shabbos. But the Shulchan Aruch does say here that there would be an opportunity to do such a thing. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach does have a discussion about somebody who keeps Rabbeinu Tam. So if you keep Rabbeinu Tam, but you're staying in somebody's house, we have this all the time, we have guests for Shabbos, and some of our guests who sleep over in our home sometimes keep Rabbeinu Tam. Now, it's very nice, you want to keep Rabbeinu Tam, it's great, but I work for a living. I always say to them, the minute Shabbos is over, we have a lot of things to do with this community, and I can't wait till Rabbeinu Tam to make Havdalah. There's a lot going on right when Shabbos is over. So some observe Rabbeinu Tam, and Tavu Aleihem Bracha, it's wonderful. Others do not observe Rabbeinu Tam. So the question they always ask is, well, if you make Havdalah, are we able to be Yotzei Havdalah with you? Right? That's a very good question. Are you able to be Yotzei Havdalah? So the bottom line that Shlomo Zalman writes is, it depends why you're keeping Rabbeinu Tam. If you believe Rabbeinu Tam's Zman is 100%, that's what you follow, and you would actually daven mincha, like many Hasidic communities, daven mincha way after the Shkia, because they believe that the Zmanim of Rabbeinu Tam are lahakel and lahakel ulahachmer both ways, then right now it's Shabbos for you. You should probably wait. And you should probably also not ask me to do malacha for you, because for you it's still Shabbos. You're not allowed to ask a Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. However, if you're just keeping Rabbeinu Tam, which I think most people in our community who keep Rabbeinu Tam say, why not? It's so beautiful. It's Shabbos. Why should we run away from Shabbos? Let's keep Rabbeinu Tam's man. Let's be machmer a little bit. Not because me'ikar adin, they believe their Rabbeinu Tam is the proper Zman, but because may as well keep a little extra Shabbos. It's okay. So if that's the case, then Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, then what's the issue? It's just the chumrah. You can ask Yisrael to do malacha for you, and that shouldn't be a problem at all. So that's just something interesting to consider. But in general, I think this whole sif in Shulchan Aruch is very interesting about making Havdalah before the Zman and how that ties into Nikar Megillah, as we mentioned, Plaga Mincha, all those other shaylas. I think they're very, very relevant. Yeah. Uh-oh, the doctor's going to ask what he does when he's on shift. No. Yeah, okay.